to start with tonight. I kind of got a lot of verses and places in the Bible to hop around to. I normally don't do that, but hey, variety is the spice of life, they say. So tonight you get to pay attention. But I did get Eileen to put them on when we get to the places when we're going to move. And we'll look in Psalm 27, verse 13. David was the writer. And he said this, he wrote this, he said, "I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for your goodness. And you are an awesome God, and we thank you for loving us, saving us, blessing us, Lord. Thank you that we can put our trust and faith in you. And I pray each one here tonight will be encouraged through looking at your word tonight. I pray that we'll all be in a spirit of fellowship, Lord, that we'll have the spirit of love, Lord, forgiveness, and we'll have our attention, Lord, solely on you. And so we'll put that into your hands tonight, Lord. We thank you for loving us like you do. Thank you for forgiving us, Lord. And we'll so commit this service to you, Lord. Speak to our hearts. Meet with us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The one part of the verse I really wanted to focus on is that when David wrote, "I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." You know, when you think about David's life and when you study, there's a lot to study about David. And the thing about it, you know, David went through a lot of things in his life. Sometimes we focus, you know, with Bathsheba and that business. But, you know, he had a lot of hardship. I mean, on the one hand, he was anointed to be king at a very early age. But on the other hand, you know, that didn't come to fruition for a very long time. Because, God's timetable, David learned how to wait on that. And the thing I like about that is that, you know, one thing that we're not very patient people. But David had some patience. I mean, he knew, and he wouldn't lift his hand against God's anointed, being Saul. He waited and he waited. But you know how the story went with that. And eventually Saul got to the place where he was jealous of David, very jealous, and he wanted to kill him. And David had to flee and run, and he had to hide in caves and waiting on the Lord. So that was a very stressful time in his life. And David had become his best friend was Saul's son, Jonathan. And that because of this running from Saul, David had to, they were separated from each other. And actually Jonathan, Saul's son, Jonathan, was killed in battle. I mean, they had become separated and didn't see each other again. And so he lost here his best friend in his lifetime. And then later on in his life, when he did become king, he had a desire in his heart. And sometimes, you know, when we have a real desire in our heart, and we want to, you know, to do something good, but you know, sometimes God just says no. And David wanted to build the temple. He had a desire in his heart that he wanted to build a temple for God. When you read those verses, he kind of looked around at all that he had, and he said, "I'm living in sealed houses and with walls of cedar," and I'm paraphrasing that a little bit, but he said, "I got walls of cedar, you know, and God doesn't have a house." And I mean, he knew he couldn't contain God in a house, but he wanted to build a temple. And he actually gathered up all the material, did a lot of the footwork, but God told him, he said, "No, you're not going to build the temple. Your son's going to build it, but you're not going to do it." And we'll talk about that in, you know, a little bit later in the message. And so, you know, when you look at the other problems, they say, well, it's great that he got to be king, but there's a lot of problems in it being an administration of a kingdom, especially the size of the one that David had. He had enemy nations around about at different times that were always on the attack or trying to attack. Family problems, including, and family crisis, including the death of some of his children that he lived to see, and the rape of one of his daughters by one of his her half brother, which still would have been one of David's sons. So he had to, you know, that going on in the family as well. But the thing about David, this is an outstanding feature about David, that he always had a spirit of gratitude. He was always grateful for the things that God had done. I know, and I noticed patience in his life stood out, it seemed to be, quite a bit. And he always saw, I think this one thing, and this is where we got to get to in our life, I think. We were singing, it's kind of ironic the way the songs work out. But a lot of times, you know, as I don't talk to the song leaders about what I'm preaching on, and most of the time I don't know till the last minute. But we were singing, Our God is an Awesome God. And, you know, David saw, I think, in everything, he saw the goodness of God no matter what was going on in his life. And, you know, I remember back in the... I'm not sure that this phrase got coined at this time, but I think it did. I mean, I know it was popular back then, but back in the 60s and 70s, the hippies had a little phrase for Christians and the way Christians believed, and they would say, well, you know, you believe in that pie in the sky business, you know, like that everything that we talked about as Christians, you know, that they look at like Christianity as those rules and regulations, and that everything that is good, we're waiting on, we're going to get it later on. When we get to heaven, that's when everything is going to be good. Now, it's going to be a whole lot better than what we got here when we get to heaven. But the thing is, you know, David said this when in the text that I just read. He said, I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. What he meant, I'm going to see the goodness of the Lord down here. You know, down here when I'm in this land that I'm living in now. And so I think not only it's going to be, we can't even explain or describe what God has for us. I don't think our mind can comprehend what God has for us. Amen. On the other side. Amen. We just, you know, the explanation. We got some explanations about heaven, a little bit of this and that and the other thing. But I still think the terminology that could be used, we wouldn't understand it. It's too, you can't fathom what God has for you over there. But God, the land, we can have the goodness of God. God didn't say, listen, you got to wait and get it all over there. You can get it down here, you know, in this thing. And so he talked about that. And good in the land of the living. And, you know, I think this helps us right here. And I know sometimes, maybe not consciously, and I'm not saying it's something I struggle with, but I know looking back in my Christian life, that I have probably subconsciously thought this, and you might as well. But sometimes I think we view God as being far away. You know, that we're being far away. Now, I know our sins separate us from God, so I think that, you know, the more disobedient we are, the farther away God seems. Or maybe when there's a crisis in your life, or maybe when there's a disappointment in your life, or maybe when the timetable for God and you is not jiving, that God seems like, you know, he's so far away. And maybe even when you pray, you know, where does God seem like? I think that's something that, you know, you might say, well, I know God's everywhere and I know he's here and I know he dwells in our heart. We got all the right answers, but I don't know that we always feel that way, that God is present. But I think that God or David didn't view the Lord as a God that was far away, but David viewed the Lord that was a friend that's very near, a friend that's very near and involved in every facet of his life. Now that's something, you know, I don't know that we always do that. You know, because we can kind of get geared up for Sunday morning, Sunday night, get geared up to read our Bible, maybe we get geared up to pray. But then sometimes we have a tendency to kind of leave it all over on the table there while we go throughout our life and thinking about someone, the Lord, as being a friend. But I think David saw that, and I think that would help us if we view God as being close, as being a friend that wants to be involved in every area of our life. The very first thing, very first point, and like I say, I'm kind of going to go around and look at some different verses and things. But the goodness of God, number one, and we're going to look, you can, I got it written down in my book, but if you want to mark it or write it down. Exodus 33:19, and this is when Moses had asked about seeing God. And in Exodus 33:19, and he said, I will make all my goodness to pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Now, look over there at that. Make sure I got this straight. Exodus 33:19. I had it right? You know, sometimes my memory's not, I'll get Noah and Moses mixed up, and you know, a lot of things will happen like that sometime. Yeah, and he was talking, that's where and he said, I'm going to make all my goodness pass before thee. Now, all my goodness there means, God was saying, I'm going to, all my divine attributes, I'm going to make pass before thee. And what that means is every attribute of God is good. Every attribute of God is good. Amen. Everything God says, everything God does, and everything that God is good. It's nothing but goodness. You know, I think the world sometimes, and sometimes I think that creeps over into Christianity as well, is sometimes we don't view God that way. You know, maybe before you knew the Lord, or maybe back, sometimes you might view God as the world does, I think sometimes, is, you know, this guy in white with the long white beard, and he's got a finger pointing down, just waiting for you to slip up, waiting for you to make a mistake, and viewing God that way, and that's a faraway view of God, by the way. One of the problems that the world has, and I think Christians do as well, is that we have a God of our own imagination. We've made up an image of God in our mind of what we think he's like, what we think he would do in every situation, what we think he would say, all those type things. And we're probably always wrong, mostly. We're probably wrong about that, about who God is. It's not, you know, we don't need to have a God of our own imagination. We have a God of the Bible, and so we understand that. And so everything that God says, does, and is good. And everything that God does is all for our good. And all to accomplish God's purpose in the world, which really, and God can do this. You know, I don't know how he does it, but God can accomplish his purpose in the world and still do everything that he does for his children now, for people that are trusting him. It's all for our good. Amen. It's all for our good. Now, we always don't see that. We always can't see it. But that's just the way it is. And even painful experiences that we go through are good because they come from the heart of a good God. See, no evil can come out from God's heart. Everything coming out of God's heart is good. But say, well, man, when I go through a painful experience, but see, you know, we can't see the big picture. We can't see the length of it all, what God's going to do. And so, you know, when David, he wanted to build the temple, and God revealed to him that you know, you're not going to build it. Now, that was probably, it would seem like, and maybe even it was, but David, is how you handle it, a disappointing experience. You know, I mean, you know, he wanted to do it. He got all the material, and God said, no, you're not going to do it. Now, right off the bat, being a good Baptist, you know, we would have had to say, why? Why can't I build the temple? You know, why, you know, it doesn't seem fair, or maybe you wouldn't have said that to God, but you might have thought those type things. But this is what David responded to that in 2 Samuel 7:28. He said, and now, O Lord God, thou art that God, and thy words be true, and thou hast promised this goodness unto thy servant. That was David's response after he was told that he would not build the temple. And now, O Lord God, thou art that God, and thy words be true, and thou hast promised this goodness unto thy servant. Look in, you're right there at 29, Psalm 31, just over a page there, in verse 19. Psalm 31, verse 19. This is what David wrote this. He said, oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Now, I want you to see where it says, oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them. Laid up, it could also be translated this way, stored up. Stored up. That God has good things stored up for those that trust in him. Amen. And I remember my pastor Woodard, you know, he used to say, preach along these lines. He would say something like, you know, I don't want to go into heaven just by the skin of my teeth. He said, you know, whatever God has for me, I want that. You know, whatever we have, the Bible talks about crowns. I've heard some messages on it about the crowns of God. He said, I want my crowns. He said, whatever God has for me, I just don't want to barely get in, although, I mean, saved is saved. I know what he was trying to say. You know, whatever God has, that God's got goodness stored up for us, that he is ready to give us. You know, if we keep trusting in him, all the goodness. I wonder how much goodness we do miss out on by, you know, disobedience or not following God's leading, which would be disobedience, and that God's unable to bless us with. It's, you know, God knows what we need for the future. God knows what we need for the present. He knows what we need for the future as well. In Psalm 84, 11b, the last little part there, he said this, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Amen. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. You know, if you're a parent, you can relate to this. You know, you like to give your children good things. Sometimes your children want things that aren't good. They, in their heart, they want them. But in our wisdom, as limited as it may be, we withhold what they think is a good thing. And so they get, what do? They cry, they fuss, they whine, they stomp their feet, whatever, which usually leads to a whipping, should. And they don't understand it. You know, they can't understand it. And I think, and we, a lot of times, we want something, we desire something, and God is saying no, and we think it's a bad thing from God, but in the long run, it's really a good thing. You know, it's a good thing. We don't understand it. And so God deals with us the same way. He wants, listen, God wants to give us good.
Amen.
A lot of times, I think, in our concept of God, and I'll talk about it at the end, but we think that God is holding back when he's not. He's not. He wants, he desires to give us good, and does. And does definitely more than we deserve. You know, God has goodness stored up. I like that thought right there. It's, his goodness isn't affected by the economy. It's not affected by the stock market. I mean, God has plenty. God has plenty, and God, you know, God. So God's not going to be affected that way. You know, when you know, we have the thought, our daily bread, and you know that. And I thought about some things when I was thinking about that. This is kind of crazy in the way we live now. Those of you that are older remember this, and I talked about it somewhat before. But back in the day when television went off the air at night, like at 11:30 or midnight, I know you young people thinking, what in the world? I never heard nothing like that. And then it came on at 6 or 6:30 in the morning, it came on. And I remember down Virginia Beach where I grew up, when the television came on, they had a little thing that came on there with some words, and it said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That came on public, national, I don't know if it was national, I guess it was local. Public, local television in America.
Amen.
Right there, I mean, something about God. Back then, matter of fact, when I was in kindergarten, and I've told you this before, we went in, we sang all God Bless America. We said the Pledge of Allegiance. We said, we prayed. We talked about God in kindergarten, buddy. Mrs. Bowden would get us all lined up, and she'd get on that piano, and buddy, we marched in, huh? And we marched in, and we sat down, because if you didn't in those days, they'd pull your hand out and get a ruler out and wear your palm of your hand out, and then you sat there and shut up after you got done crying. They would do that stuff to you. America was a lot better back in them days.
Amen.
But anyway, but you know, there it was on television about the bread, our daily bread. When you think about that, and I don't know if this is where the phrase came from, give us, you know, of course we know about the prayer and our model prayer about our daily bread. But 38 years, the Israelites wandered in the wilderness. Every morning when they got up, 6 days a week, not on the Sabbath day, 6 days a week they got up, there was bread on the ground. Man, they didn't have to do a thing. All they had to do was go out and gather it up. There was enough. God told them, says, don't keep it any extra. Because see, if you keep extra, you're thinking that God's not going to provide for you the next day.
That's right.
Right? You just got enough. Kind of like that's how we grocery shop. You know, we got to go to the grocery store every day. But they went out there every day, and there was the bread. And he did tell them on Friday, they had to gather up the day before the Sabbath. They had to gather up enough for 2 days because they didn't have to go out and gather it up on the next day. And it stayed kept. And God didn't want them dependent on the bread they got from. And God doesn't want us dependent on the bread we got today for tomorrow. He wants us to get another thing tomorrow, you know. And this daily bread here, you listen. God don't want you to depend. This is good stuff. God don't want you to depend on what you're getting today, the Sunday morning and Sunday night. Tomorrow, He wants you reading this thing tomorrow on your own. I don't have to read it to you. And then and then tomorrow evening when you go, and then on Tuesday He wants you to do the same thing. Your daily bread. Your daily bread. He wants you to get it every day. God's got something for you every day. And, you know, God could do it a lot of different ways. I mean, He could have dropped a whole year's supply of bread down there, boom, at one time, and not let it corrupt. But He said, no, every day. They depended on God every day. And so they got their bread every day. God never failed. They ran out of water and they started whining. What happened? Water out of a rock. Huh? Bop water out of the rock. I mean, you know, so God never failed those people, the goodness of God. What happened? They started complaining about it. I mean, that's another story. They complained about it. The second thing I want to see is the goodness of God in creation. You know, one thing about David, another great thing about him, old David was a shepherd boy. Now, I thought about that. I don't know anything about sheep. I know you got to lead them. You can't drive them. You know, you lead them out to, and I'm sure there's care and tending and mending and whatever you got to do. But I kind of would have liked that job in the day. Man, I mean, you know, I'm an outdoors person. I mean, you'd have been outside. You know, you'd have seen, you know, nature. Seen the mornings and the sunrises and the sunsets. You'd have been out around the creeks and you'd been out around the trees and you'd have been out around the pastures. Outside job, man. It wasn't an office job. It was an outside job. But David saw those things. And there was a while when he ran from Saul. He was living in caves. I think he knew how to live in a cave and live in a comfortable way. But the thing is that he saw the goodness of God in creation. Back in Psalm 29, look what he said here. Let me see. I saw another verse that might... Let me see what I see. Well, yeah, just read the whole psalm. Psalm 29. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. Now, David saw all these things. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf. Lebanon and Siron like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve and discovereth the forest. And in his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. The Lord sitteth upon the flood. Yea, the Lord sitteth King forever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. But I want you to see, look how many references that he talked about that had to do with the outside. I mean, he talked about thunder. He talked about many waters. He talked about calves being born. He talked about the forest and the cedars and all those things that David saw because he was out in the outdoors. And listen, you know, somebody I was talking to the other day, and they weren't in church, and they said they knew they needed to be, but they said, well, I just kind of, you know, I just go out. My church is out in the woods and all that. Well, you know, sounds kind of neat, but it's not. Listen, you know, I said, the problem with it is, I said, let me tell you something. I was trying to be nice. I know it's hard. I said, let me, the problem with that is, I said, that's good for you, but you're not no good to anybody else. I said, you can't be a blessing to somebody else because you're out there by yourself. I said, God didn't intend for us to have church by ourselves off in the woods somewhere. And they agreed. They knew what I was talking about. And so, you know, we can't just don't everybody run off and say, well, I'm going to sit out in creation and enjoy the goodness of God. I can look in the woods. We still, there's a place for church. You know, there. That's a little side lesson for you there. But he saw that in the creation. And later on, David referred to the Lord as a rock of refuge. He referred to the Lord of that many times. And he probably wrote that. Some speculate he wrote that while he hid in a cave. He was looking at rocks. He talked, and that was a refuge for him. It protected him from the outside. It protected him from the enemy. And he probably thought about the Lord being a rock. And so he saw the likeness, that likeness of God's protection. Psalm 18:2. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust. My buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. High tower is usually made out of rock as well by there. So David saw all that. And you have to remember, he wasn't writing this while he was sitting in a cushy palace on the throne already. He was writing this while he was running from Saul, while he was living in the wilderness, while he was living in caves. He still knew, he still saw the goodness of God. And so that's good. In the creation account in Genesis chapters 1 and 2, each of the first 5 days when God described, the Word of God described what God did each of those days, it ended with the God examining his work and saying he saw that it was good. It was good. It was good. And then on the last end of the week, God said he looked and he saw that it was very good. He saw that what he had made was very good. Now look over in the New Testament. Go to Matthew chapter 6. That's a familiar verse for us. This is good. Amen. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. He says here, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Behold, now here we go to the nature again, right? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the tomorrow. For the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You know, that text is telling us there, listen. The birds have needs. And God meets their needs. I mean, they eat. We got a bird feeder. How many of you got a bird feeder out? You got a bird feeder, man. Birds just flock. If it snows, man alive, it looks like an Alfred Hitchcock movie. I mean, man, there's birds everywhere. But you know, if you don't feed them, guess what? They still get fed. They make it every year. They make it on their own. All the hunters was worried this year. Man, no acorns. What are the deer going to do? Hey, they out there eating. Huh? I watched them. They was eating leaves in the fall. They was just eating leaves off the ground, old brown leaves. I mean, we think that. Look, and God, and every year, year in, year out, all the animals, God takes care of them. You don't think the birds are sitting around getting ulcers in their stomach, wondering about what they're going to do about tomorrow, do you? That's what it's telling us right there. Huh? They're not sweating it. They're not worried about what they're going to eat tomorrow. I always kid with my wife. She says, oh, those poor deer, you get them shot and you get their heads hanging on the wall in a den. I said, their troubles are over. They don't have to worry about where the next acorn's coming from, right? Their troubles are over. But they don't really have troubles because they're not worried about it. Like we fret about what about tomorrow. But God's saying, look here, I'm taking care of the grass. I'm taking care of the flowers. I'm taking care of the ravens. I'm taking care of, and the greatest creation that God ever made is us. His crowning achievement is man. That's it. All this other stuff that he put down here is for us. If he takes care of those things, how much more would he take care of us? Has he even said, that's what he's talking about, that grass that's thrown into the oven. You know, he provides during the summer, he provides the rain, the sun, the nutrients in the soil, and that stuff grows. God provides that to make it grow because that grass is good for the animal. But that stuff's going to be destroyed one day. It goes away in the winter. And he said, listen, if I take care of that, here you are, my crowning achievement. How much more would I take care of you? Amen. He's going to take care of us. Right. You know, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Now, there's a stipulation. See, you know, because listen, those animals and that grass doesn't have a soul and a spirit. It can't commune with God. I know you think all dogs go to heaven, like the little cartoon thing. They can't commune with God. We can. So there's a stipulation with us. He said, look, seek me first. And he said, these other things I'm going to add to you. He said, I'm going to give it to you. And it's, you know, of course, it's a text on worry. But it's also a text on the blessings of God. Usually we use it in a sense of worrying. But it's also a text on blessing that God said, listen, I'm going to take care of you. We can't live without food, but we can live without beauty. But God in his goodness gives us both. Man, he gives us beauty and he gives us food. Man, I'm telling you what, one thing, where my dad's house is up there, sits up high, the sunsets that we see out over this way, when you in the evening, the clouds will be over there a certain way. I mean, man, it's like sunset alert. You know, you got to run over there for that last 10, 15 minutes of the day and just watch the sunset. It's awesome. I mean, you just look into beauty. I remember when I was in Sicily and one time, and, you know, God had kind of dealt with me in a way. And I remember looking at the sunsets, like they would get those clouds was so gold and they were so red. And it was like looking right into heaven. You know, you thought about it. It made me think about it. Here I was, man. I mean, you know. Looking at, and probably not saved yet, I wasn't saved, but I would look in there and think about heaven when I saw those things. You know, think about how it must look. And if it looks, down here on earth, if that looks that good, I can only imagine what heaven looks like. I can't imagine what that's going to, it's going to look like better than that. Better than that. And that was good. It was very good. Matthew 5:45 says this, that God caused the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. You know what that tells me? That even lost people, and you think back before you got saved, even lost people experienced the goodness of God.
Amen.
We, you know, the people that were lost, they get rain sent on them, even though they may be lost, and the sun rises on them as well. They experience the goodness of God. The third thing we see is God's future judgment. You know, I think David, he anticipated God's goodness each day. And back in Psalm 21, back up just a little bit from where we originally were. Verse 1 says, "The king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord, and in thy salvation how greatly shall he rejoice. Thou hast given him his heart's desire, and hast not withholden the request of his lips. For thou preventest him," which that means goes before, "with the blessings of goodness. Thou settest a crown of pure gold on his head." In verse 1 and 2 of that text right there of Psalm 21, David was, he looked back and thanked God for strength and answered prayers. But in verse 3, he's looking ahead and anticipating more blessings. See, he said, "For thou preventest," or goes before, or to proceed, or to look ahead, "with the blessings of goodness, thou settest a crown of pure gold on his head." He saw that. That word that's used for prevented is the word that we get, our English word providence, which also means to see it beforehand. And so one of God's or the Lord's special names is Jehovah Jireh, and that means the Lord will provide, or the Lord will see to it. And so that goes right along with that verse very well. Another name for the Lord is the Good Shepherd. Never called the bad shepherd. He's always called the good shepherd.
Amen.
David was a shepherd, so he understood this. And the thing about, you know, what is a good shepherd? Why is he a good shepherd? Because he cares for the sheep. There's a lot of text in the Bible about it. Not being a hireling, which didn't care for the sheep. He just cared for the money. But the good shepherd cared for the sheep because they were his sheep. 23rd Psalm says, "Good shepherd leads us by to green pastures." Green pastures means food. Green pastures, man. I mean, I picture, you know how it is. I can't wait to. I love this time of year. We can start getting to May, although I guess there is a downside. You got to mow the grass. We get to May. But boy, you know when that grass comes up, it's real green and it gets real clumpy and high and all that. I mean, man, and it looks good. I mean, it just looks like, you know, cattle are out there, you know, knee deep in the grass and stuff their head down in there and they eat. I mean, it's plenty. That's what it looks like, plenty. And the still waters. Water that they can go and they can drink. The shepherd leads to that. And, you know, watches over them with a rod and a staff. 23rd Psalm tells us that. That's the good shepherd. That's what the Lord does. Listen, if the shepherd are going to do that for the sheep, then how about the good shepherd, the Lord? What's he going to do for us, his people? So God is good.
Amen.
So we need to keep looking ahead, anticipating each day. I remember when... I shared this with you a long time ago. I remember when we first moved down here, and we had a lot of things going on at one time. And I mean, I had to move down here because of the way work was going, it wasn't going good. And so they said, "Look, we got a place for you down in Roanoke. We need a boilermaker to go down there if you can go down and work for this guy." And we came down here. And of course, in the course of time, my renters, I'd rented my house out and we had rent here and things didn't work out. And next thing you know, I don't have a job. The renters we had, they left us. They bailed out on my house. So I had a house payment in Northern Virginia, which is not cheap, and rent payment down here, which wasn't cheap either. And, you know, boy, stressed out. And I remember I got so stressed out, I got that TMJ where your jaws all locked up. You know how we talk? I remember Pastor Frank, he'd call on. I was hoping he wouldn't call me to pray because I'd start praying, and before I'd get two or three words out, my jaws would start getting tight because I was stressed out about it. And, you know, lo and behold, God took care of everything. Surprise. Huh? You know what? We got things taken care of with the mortgage down there, and, you know, we got the rent. I don't even know. To this day, we look back, I don't know how it all happened. But, you know, we went through it. I shared that with you before. And then I got some little temporary jobs that were going to, you know, that you were going to work. It was welding, more construction side of things, and you knew they were going to fizzle out at the end of the job, and you're going to have to do something else. And lo and behold, a year later, guess what? I ended up out of work again. But you know, this time I didn't get so stressed out. You know why? Because God took care of us. As a matter of fact, I got excited to see what God was going to do. I mean, God, a couple times. One time I was going to go to Northern Virginia and go back to work. I told Sherry, I'm leaving. I'm going to stay up with your sister. I'm going to look around for some work 2 or 3 days, and I'll come back. And so the next day I was going to leave, and I turned the TV off and laid my head back and started praying about it. Phone rang right while I was praying. And it was Connex down there with the union thing, but they wanted me to go. You said you still want that job at Connex. I said, yeah, it was a good job. Went down there, and I worked that job till I was a full-time pastor. But right while I was praying about it, it got to the point where all of a sudden I got kind of used to God, like, waiting until the last second. He was testing my faith. He was testing to see, you know, and I didn't get, the second time, I didn't get all TMJ'd. I didn't get all worried about it. I was concerned about it, but I'm going to tell you what, it got to be this point right here where it got to be exciting. I just couldn't wait to see what God was going to do.
Amen.
Huh? Because I knew it was going to be good. It was, and matter of fact, that last job I got, it wasn't the highest paying job I ever had, but it was one of the better, the job I liked. I liked the job. I mean, I like this one, but that just isn't a job. This is a calling. But I mean, I just like, you know, it worked out good. And so God had something good. And David, that's what David was doing. He was looking ahead, anticipating each day the blessings that God has for us.
Amen.
You know what? God's got blessings for us tomorrow.
Amen.
I wonder what they are. Y'all will be up at 5 o'clock in the morning, huh? You jump out of bed in the morning and say, boy, God's got some blessings for me, and I want to see what it is. No, my blessing's going to be I'm going to sleep in. But something good. God's got something for us. And that's a great thing. So we need to anticipate each day the blessings of God. Now I want you to, I said something about this at the start, and I want you to listen to this. Satan wants us to believe that God is holding out and God is holding back.
Yes.
And that the world has something better to offer than God does.
Right.
Both of those things are lies.
Amen.
Look, I got somebody over here freezing now. Y'all was over here whining about how hot it was. I moved the thing 1 degree on this side only now. This is a side lesson. 1 degree I turned it down over here from this side over here. Now look, Faye's over there all shivering. Huh? This is a crazy church to operate, man. I'm telling you, keep everybody happy. But anyway, another point. God's got something good for you. Just hold on. But Satan wants you to believe that God's holding back and the world has something better to offer. And those are both lies.
Amen.
Satan doesn't have it. God's not holding back. Matter of fact, if God is holding back, and I think God has blessings, more blessings to give us, but it's our own fault because we won't follow him. Huh? If God's saying, hey, listen, come on, I got some blessings for you, and you say, nah, not today, not now. How are you going to get the blessing? If I say, listen, man, I got a bunch of T-bone steaks over at my house, come on over and eat, and you say, nah, I'm not coming over, guess what you're not going to get? That's what God's doing. I mean, God has blessings for us, and so, listen, God is good, right? Amen? God is good, and God has goodness that's stored up. And the Bible says this, that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose, all things. Let's all stand with our heads bowed, eyes closed.